Chapter 11. What time is it when an Imperial walker steps on your chrono? Time to get a new chrono. Jason Solo, age 14. The stain ran across Jaina's jaw and neck down to her shoulder, a line of crimson ovals where she had been splattered by her brother's blood. She had tried to wash it off with soap and water, with surgical sanitizer, even with the Enzo bleach Hapen orderlies used to keep the loyal dragon's infirmary spotless. Now she was using Arelifanian sarsistone, literally trying to scour the spots away. But she might as well have been trying to rub off a blaster scar. Her efforts only seemed to make the stain brighter and redder. A soft hiss sounded behind Jaina, and in the mirror above her sink, she saw the privacy partition at the front of her convalescence bay sliding aside. Before she could put the sarsistone down, her mother was coming through the opening, her thin brows arching in surprise. "What are you doing up?" Leia demanded. Her mouth was frowning with reproach, but her brown eyes were sparkling with relief. "You should be in a healing trance." "I have been." Jaina set the sarsistone on the sink and began to rinse the grit off her hands. "For a week now, I think."
"Yeah, well, you need another one, and maybe a whole lot more," her father said, following Leia into the cramped bay. "Luke didn't look this bad after the Wampa tried to eat him."
"Gee, thanks, Dad."
Jaina shifted her gaze to her father's reflection and didn't think he looked much better. The lines in his brow had grown so deep that his face had gone from ruggedly handsome to haggard. The bags beneath his eyes were so big they belonged on a Yuuzhan Vong warrior, not Han Solo.
"That's just what a woman standing in front of a mirror wants to hear."
"I'm your father."
He slid the partition closed behind him.
"It's my job to be honest."
"Okay, but do you have to be so good at it?"
Jaina smiled at his reflection, then wet a cloth and began to wipe the sarsgrit off her neck. She couldn't remember much about her extraction, or the last half of the fight, because that big ugly split above her right eye had come with a nasty concussion. She had hazy memories of a long, aching run on legs so filled with shrapnel they rattled, of always being short of breath because it was impossible to fully expand her lungs with four broken ribs. The next thing she remembered was stumbling into the hangar with a company of stormtroopers on her tail. Then Jag, Zek, her mother, and about half a dozen other Jedi. Okay, Jag wasn't a Jedi, but he had fought like one, coming out of nowhere to drive them off. And she recalled her uncle warning the others about her injuries as they rushed to help her. How he had seemed to know every blow she had taken without having to even glance in her direction. But the thing she remembered most was the fear in her father's face as they loaded her aboard his blast boat, how his head had somehow seemed to turn around 180 degrees to look over the back of his seat, how the color had drained from his face at the sight of the blood oozing from her red-soaked robes.
"Sweetheart, you can't wash them off," Leia said.
She had come to the sink without Jaina realizing it, and now she was standing at her side, reaching for the cloth.
"They're burns."
"No."
Jaina studied the little ovals in the mirror again. She could see why her mother might mistake them for spatter burns. They were certainly bright enough, and the edges were distinct. But her mother hadn't been there. She hadn't seen how those spots were made.
"It'll come off. It's a blood stain. His blood."
Jaina felt the bottom sink out of the force, and her mother pulled the cloth away.
"Jaina, they'll fade as soon as we can get you into a Bacta tank," Leia said, turning her back toward her bed. "And if they don't, we'll have the skin repaired."
"Mom, I'm not in battle shock," Jaina insisted. "It's blood. I got splattered when I cut off Kydus's arm."
"Okay, take it easy. We believe you."
Han came around the bed, then took her arm and started her back toward it.
but it's not coming off. I'll ask Luke if he's got any special Sith blood solvent.
Sith blood solvent?
Jaina allowed him to sit around the bed.
Dad, please. I'm not inventing this. I remember getting splashed.
Really? This from her mother, whose doubtful tone suggested she was at least going to treat Jaina like a not-too-brain-addled adult.
It's interesting how you remember that, but not much else about the fight.
Jaina frowned.
You think he brain-rubbed me?
Leia shook her head, then pointed at the wound on Jaina's throbbing brow.
I think that brain-rubbed you. It scrambled your memories, and you may not be remembering things exactly the way they happened.
Like what?
Jaina asked. Leia didn't even need to think before she answered.
Well, do you remember what happened with Jag and Zek?
Han bit his lip to keep from smiling, which only made Jaina frown harder.
They helped with the extraction,
Jaina said.
They both fought very well. I remember that.
We're talking about later, her father said, as they were loading you into the blast boat.
Jaina paused, trying to grab hold of a hazy image floating at the edges of her memory. One of Zek's big, snowy smile, and Jag's durasteel eyes doing something they hardly ever did, widening in surprise.
I thanked them?
I guess you could call it that, her father said.
He pulled a chair out from the wall beside her bed and dropped into it, smirking.
You asked them to bunk with you.
Bunk with me?
Jaina asked.
Both of them?
Well, what you really proposed was taking quarters together,
Leia corrected.
All three of you.
Jaina caught the twinkle in their eyes and realized what they were trying to do.
Very funny, guys, but I'm serious.
She tapped her throat.
These aren't burns.
You think we're making this up? Her father asked.
Of course,
Jaina said.
You're running a classic Zeltron shift. Embarrass the spoil sport.
We could be, except we're not,
her mother said, chuckling.
C-3PO filed the whole conversation in his memory. Do you want to hear it? He's right outside.
That won't be necessary,
Jaina said. Her parents were both great bluffers, which meant they never tried to pull one when calling it would be easy. She swung around and leaned against the headboard, then asked,
So, did they say yes?
Her father's brow shot up, then he shook his head and ran a hand down his chin.
You're not ready for that, he said. You don't have the patience.
Jaina laughed and ran a finger over the spots on her neck.
If these are burns, how come they're not sore? And why isn't my skin dry?
Her father closed his eyes in exasperation, but her mother said,
You have been in a healing trance, Jaina.
Which means they would be healed by now,
Jaina replied,
if they were burns.
Her father opened his eyes, then reached up and took her hand.
Look, it was a tough fight, he said. And Luke's pretty sure you're remembering right about the arm. It's natural to feel a little guilty.
I don't feel guilty,
Jaina objected. She felt her mother's gaze on her, then realized she wasn't being entirely honest.
Not much, anyway. Not enough to make me imagine things.
Okay, we'll ask Silgal to take a look,
Leia said.
There could be another explanation.
There is.
Jaina could tell that her mother didn't believe another explanation was needed, but her reply was utterly reasonable, the kind designed to cut an unnecessary argument short.
The Force might be trying to tell me something.
Her father fidgeted and began to look more uncomfortable than ever. Her mother nodded as though she believed that were a possibility, then sat on the foot of her bed.
Okay, Leia said. Any ideas what that would be?
Maybe.
Jaina didn't know how her parents were going to take this next part, because she wasn't sure how she felt about it herself, whether she was just looking for an easy way out of a dirty job she had left undone, or whether she had given up on her brother too soon when she decided to kill him.
"I can't be sure that I'm remembering this right, but I wasn't the only one who was confused at the end of the fight. After I cut off his arm, Kaida seemed surprised that it was me."
"What?" Han asked. "He didn't think a girl could do it?"
"That's not what I mean," Jaina said. "He didn't seem to realize he had been fighting me until after we stopped. And when he did, he stopped attacking." "Well, he was missing an arm," Leia pointed out. "But there were a couple of stormtroopers trying to blast me," Jaina explained. "He ordered them to redirect their fire."
Her parents looked at each other for a moment. Then Leia asked,
"And you think that has something to do with those marks on your neck?"
"I think it might."
Jaina took a breath, then said,
"What if we're wrong? What if Jason is still in there somewhere?"
Her father's face grew hard. "He isn't."
"But he let me go."
"That's not the way it looked when you entered the hangar with all those stormtroopers behind you," her mother said. "As for what happened after you cut off his arm, he was probably in shock. You said yourself that he seemed as confused as you were."
"That's true," Jaina agreed. "And my memory isn't clear. But these stains..."
"Could mean anything, even if they are stains," her father interrupted. "And if Kaidus did let you go, it's not because he felt bad about getting into a fight with his sister."
"Your father's right," Leia said. "You're about the only one in the family he hasn't been trying to kill. It would be a mistake to assume that's anything more than an accident of circumstance."
Jaina knew they were right, of course. Even if Kaidus had hesitated, it didn't excuse what he had done in the past. And it didn't mean he would hesitate again. But he had directed fire away from her. A part of Jaina wanted to believe that meant there was some hope of redeeming Jason. The other part remembered that Kaidus had been grievously wounded at the time, and he had thought he was seeing Luke somewhere else. That had made no sense to her at the time. It still didn't. But what made more sense? That a Sith Lord had suddenly turned soft? Or that he had been making a tactical choice based on a shock-induced hallucination?
"Okay," Jaina said, nodding. "Let's just figure out what these marks are. Because they're not burns."
Her mother nodded.
"We'll have Silgal take a look as soon as we get back to Shedu Mod."
Jaina frowned.
"We're going back?" she asked. "But Kaidus is on Nickel One."
"Surrounded by 3 fleets of his own, and about 6 from the Confederation and our coalition," her father explained. "The Corellians and Bothans have jumped into the action, and the Roach system is turning into a firestorm."
"Luke thinks our fight is going to move away from the Roach system," Leia said. "And you need some time to heal."
Before Jaina could ask exactly where Luke thought the fight was going to move, the privacy partition slid open, and C-3PO's golden form appeared in the opening.
"Excuse me for interrupting," the droid said. "Mandalore Fett is requesting a few words with Jaina."
"Fett?" Han was instantly on his feet. "No way! Tell him she's..."
"I won't stay long,"
Fett said, pushing past C-3PO. He was wearing his new green Beskar gam, with no helmet, a concession, no doubt, to the stubborn efficiency of Hapen security forces, who tended to frown on masked strangers wandering around their battle dragons. His dead brown eyes did not betray the anger Jaina sensed in him through the Force.
"I just need a quick post-action briefing."
"Sorry," her father said, stepping forward. Jaina knew that it was not the first time Han Solo had seen Boba Fett without a helmet on, but her father's gaze still seemed riveted to Fett's swarthy, square face.
"She's in no condition—"
"Dad," Jaina interrupted, "it's okay. He deserves to hear what happened. What I can remember of it, anyway."
Her father looked at her and scowled, then turned back to Fett and scowled more.
"Keep it short. She's been through a lot."
Fett nodded.
"Haven't we all?"
For a moment, the two men stood looking at each other, Fett waiting for Jaina's parents to leave, her father letting him know that wasn't going to happen. Outside the bay, Jaina glimpsed another Mandalorian in full armor standing behind C-3PO. She couldn't see him well enough to identify, but judging by his size and the way he was keeping an eye on Fett's back, she guessed it was Fett's de facto second-in-command, Bevine. It was Leia who finally broke the standoff.
"We're not going anywhere, Mondalore."
Unlike Han, she was careful to address Fett by his title.
"If you've got something to ask, go ahead. Otherwise, Han is right. Jaina needs to rest."
Fett's gaze shifted to Leia, a Narglatch sizing up a Mother Shenbet. He gave a barely perceptible nod, then turned to Jaina.
"I know Myrta and her team connected with you at the flak blaster emplacement," he said. "What I don't know is how they did."
Jaina closed her eyes. Those memories, the memories of what had happened to Myrta and the first couple of Mandalorians, were all too clear.
"They only got a handful of Moffs. Maybe half a dozen," she said. "I don't know which ones, because the Moffs weren't my target. And the last part of the battle is still pretty hazy for me."
"How hazy?"
Fett demanded. Jaina opened her eyes and saw him studying the wound on her forehead, no doubt hoping that she had missed the part of the battle where his commandos finished off the rest of the Moffs and escaped.
"Not that hazy."
She concentrated for a moment, trying to recall what she had seen in those last few minutes of fighting.
"Your team had trouble getting through the bodyguards. Then Kytus arrived."
"And?"
"And he rescued the rest of the Moffs," Jaina said. "I don't think you should have sent in the team after their trocods got hit. All you did was strengthen Kytus's hand."
Fett's eyes flashed with irritation.
"Kytus wasn't supposed to have a hand," he said. "You were supposed to take him out."
Jaina resisted the urge to tell him that it was Myrta who had spoiled the plan. There was no point in adding to the pain he was already feeling, and it might even be dangerous. Her father, unfortunately, lacked Jaina's self-restraint.
"You can't blame Jaina for that," he said. "The way I heard it, she would have had him if Mandalorians could follow orders."
Fett's eyes flashed.
"Mandalorians don't follow Jedi orders,"
he said, speaking through clenched teeth.
"We know how they treated the clones."
"Probably because they had a sense of who the clones were really serving," Leia countered. "Blind obedience deserves even less respect than mercenary—"
"I think we've all said enough about that," Jaina interrupted.
She shot a warning glance first at her parents, then at Fett.
"Unless you three are trying to start another war."
All three fell silent and stared at one another.
"I'll take that as a no," Jaina said. "Myrta chose her moment without knowing where Kytus was. I remember that pretty clearly. But I doubt we were ever going to know where he was. Kytus was one step ahead of us all the way."
Fett tore his gaze away from Leia and turned to Jaina.
"Thanks,"
he said.
"What about Myrta?"
Jaina's stomach grew hollow, and she was suddenly unsure whether he was asking how she died or whether she had survived. Unfortunately, The answer was the same either way.
She was the first to go,
Jaina said. She saw the blood drain from Fett's face, but there was no hint of surprise. He might not have heard about Myrta's fate, but he had known.
I'm sorry, Boba.
Fett dipped his head absent-mindedly, then asked,
You're sure?
Jaina nodded.
It happened a long time before this.
She gestured at the split above her eye.
So I've got a pretty clear memory of it. Kytus threw her into a high corner, and she came down on her head.
Not what I meant, Jedi,
Fett said.
You're sure she was dead? Not moving?
I don't... Let me think.
Jaina closed her eyes, trying to recall if there had been time to stretch her Force awareness toward Myrta, if there had even been time to glance in that direction. She saw nothing. She had no memories of Myrta after that at all.
I don't remember. I don't even know if there was time to look.
So you don't know that she's dead, do you?
Fett asked. There was as much hope as blame in his voice.
For all you know, she could be alive. You left without checking.
Jaina considered the accusation, recalling how frenzied the battle had been, and began to feel very guilty.
I probably did,
she admitted.
But I don't want to give you false hope. It was a long fall, and I know Myrta. If she'd been able to move, she would have been fighting.
Of course. She's a Mandalorian.
What Fett left unsaid, but Jaina knew he was thinking, was that Mandalorians didn't abandon fallen comrades, wounded or dead.
But she wouldn't have been moving if she was just...
Myrta wasn't our concern. The pronouncement came from the entrance to the convalescence bay, where Luke had just arrived in his customary dark robe. He stepped inside and went to stand face to face with Fett. You have no right to come here and blame Jaina for anything. You inserted yourselves into our mission, thinking we would serve as your shields.
And you made sure we paid the price.
There was more pain in Fett's voice than Jaina would have thought him capable of showing. She suddenly understood why he had really come here. And it had less to do with discovering the truth than with finding someone to blame for it. He flicked a thumb in her direction, then continued,
She might have got him if you had stuck to your plan, Jedi.
Or if you had offered to work with us instead of trying to use us, Luke replied calmly. And the first option, by the way, is still open.
Not for us,
Fett shot back. He turned to Jaina.
Thanks for the briefing, Jedi.
Fett spoke in a tone that suggested he really meant thanks for nothing, and Jaina decided that not only could she not abide serving as his scapegoat any longer, but it might be dangerous to do so. As he turned to go, she stretched a hand toward him.
Wait.
Fett stopped and turned his head toward her without pivoting his body.
You remember something else, Jedi?
As a matter of fact, I do,
Jaina said.
I don't know what happened to Myrta, and I'm sorry for that. But you're the one who chose to go after the Moffs under Kytus's nose.
Mandalore has a treaty to honor,
Fett said simply.
I had to do something.
There were a lot of things you could have done, Jaina retorted, but you wanted Kytus to know you were behind all this. And now you've dragged Mandalore into the middle of the war in a big way, and for what? Your personal vendetta.
Fett's eyes narrowed.
You sure this is any of your business?
You made it my business when you sent Myrta to Nickel One, Jaina said. She wasn't there because of what I wanted.
Did you really think that baiting Kytus wouldn't cost you? That he wouldn't tear off a piece of you? And that he's not going to keep tearing off pieces?
I thought I had trained someone to take him down,
Fett retorted.
And I will, Jaina said. But this is war, not an assassination. And in a war, everybody takes casualties.
Fett studied her for a moment, the anger in his eyes slowly turning to enigma. When she did not continue, he finally asked,
You done, Jedi?
Jaina nodded.
Pretty much.
She did not bother wondering whether she had gotten through to him. Boba Fett had always been a creature of bitterness and revenge, and she supposed he was too old to change now.
Shoot straight and run fast, Boba.
Fett actually smiled.
Thanks for the advice, Jedi,
he said.
Die proud.
He stepped around Luke and left the convalescence bay, leaving both of Jaina's parents scowling after his back.
Don't blast him, guys,
she said, chuckling.
That's Mondo for good luck.
Her father's frown only deepened.
Weird language, he said, looking back toward her. You don't really expect him to take any of that advice, do you?
I'm afraid it wouldn't matter if he did, Luke said. What's left of the Fifth Fleet is already on its way to bombard Mandalore. Han whistled.
That's going to be a mess.
A big mess, Luke agreed. But it's going to keep the Mandalorian Besulik tied up defending their home planet, when they could be out here, tipping the balance of power back out of Kytus's favor. Leia cocked a brow.
Back out of his favor?
She asked.
Does that mean you've seen something decisive?
Luke nodded. Indeed I have. He smiled and produced a piece of flimsoplast from inside his robe. According to Hapen Intelligence, Boatu is on his way to take over operations in the Roach system. Jaina did not like the implications of that. As Kytus's most competent and trusted admiral, Boatu was usually placed in charge of war theaters where her brother wasn't.
So Kytus is going back to Coruscant?
She asked. Jaina did not like that possibility at all. Without Shevu, it would be nearly impossible to pinpoint an opportunity when they stood a reasonable chance of actually getting to Kytus.
That's going to complicate things.
Actually, it won't, Luke said. I don't think Kytus will be returning to Coruscant. Han cocked his brow.
You think it's a trick?
Not the way you're thinking, Luke said. But I have a feeling that finding Kytus won't be a problem. Leia's eyes narrowed.
You've seen something, haven't you?
She pointed at the intelligence report in his hand. And I'm not talking about something on a piece of flimsoplast.
No, it's not an intelligence report.
Luke stepped to Jaina's bed, his eyes fixed on the crimson stains running across her throat. It's a lot more certain than that.